But he gives a second challenge. Look, starting in verse 3. Another challenge of growing older that David points out is that he reminds us that insecurity increases. Insecurity. Think about that. It's like confusion. Insecurity shows up here and there for us in childhood. It gets bigger and bigger the older and weaker we get. Older people feel like they're no longer needed, often that they are in the way. You remember Barzilla the Gileadite? When David wanted to honor him, Barzilla was 80. And Barzilla said, no, I don't want to come to Jerusalem. He said, I'll just be in the way. Isn't that what many older people feel? I just am not needed anymore. Let me just quietly back out. I don't want to be in the way. And often, combined with all the other weaknesses of life, insecurities just increase and increase. And David warns us that God will not allow us to persist in the sins that come of insecurities in old age. When you're insecure, you have a lust for comfort. I mean, if I can't do anything else, I'm going to make sure I'm comfortable. We have a lust for convenience. We have a greed for recognition or a covetousness for security. If you're insecure, then all of a sudden all you think about is security, and you begin just coveting for it and wanting it by any means possible. And those are the enticing sins of old age. And God uses David to remind us that the sins of old age could erase from us Christ's well done. And we should remember Solomon, who started but failed in the end because he refused to obey God the last lap of his life. And he, in his old age, his heart went away from the Lord and he lost his well done. And all the increasing insecurities of old age are prompted by fears. Why is it that the most repeated negative prohibition in the Bible is fear not? Because all of us are assaulted by fears. And the older we get, the fears just come on strong. Fears like the fear of pain, or the fear of abandonment and rejection, or the fear of death, or the fear of losing control of things in our life, or the fear of failure, or the fear of the future, the fear of shame and embarrassment, or the fear of strangers, or the fear of loss, or the fear of what people think of you, or the fear of aging. Now, all those fears are around, but they just come like, just like a pack of wolves and like a swarm of piranhas. And the older you get, those fears just start eating away. So how does God deliver us from fear? God wants to deliver us by a greater fear, the fear of God. And that's what David exhibits in these verses, 3 through 8. And what is the fear of the Lord? A description of what the fear of the Lord is can be distilled by the many times that the fear of the Lord appears throughout the Psalms. Basically, if you took all the times the fear of the Lord is reflected in the Psalms and also in the wisdom literature in general, you'd find there are four broad categories. The fear of the Lord is having reverence and respect for God as the all-powerful leader of all else. In other words, he is over everything else. So why fear the lower when the higher is over all? He, we must realize, is ruler over all, talking about his great power and his sovereignty. Also, the fear of the Lord is having the certainty of our inescapable accountability of our behavior before God. That means I fear him because I know I'm going to stand before him. I know I'm going to answer to him. And so I know I'm going to be accountable, and I know he's told me not to fear, and so I make a choice to believe him and not fear. Thirdly, the fear of the Lord is practicing the personal awareness of the presence of a holy God. Just knowing he's with us. I love doing this all the time. I mean, I went to see my dad for his 91st birthday this week, flew in one day and left early the next morning, and I got there to Michigan, and someone said, did anybody travel with you? And I said, yes, the Lord did. And they stepped back and they said, oh, I know that. But they don't really acknowledge that in their daily lives. They think that they go in the car alone. They think that they go to work alone. They think that they go to school alone. They think they go off to college in the fall all alone. They don't acknowledge that there is this presence of the holy infinite God that goes with us. And we should acknowledge that. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. For me to practically, by personal awareness, experience the presence of God. And finally, the fear of God is humbly following his leadership by obeying his word. God has already revealed what he wants. He has already told us what his personal intentions are for us. And we should be exposed to them. We should have a lifelong habit of finding what it is God wants and saying, Lord, yes, to your will, to your way, to your word. That's what I want. So, when insecurity increases, what should we do? Well, look what David says. Look at verse 3. He says, I will learn to resist fear by running into God's refuge. I will trust God's word more than my fears. That's what he's saying in verse 3. I will run to you. I will trust you more than my fears. When the fear of aging or the fear of death or the fear of losing control or the fear of what people think of me or whatever fear it is hits me, instead of me trying to overcome that fear, I'll make a choice. Look what he says. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. I'm going to constantly run to you. I used to love thunderstorms. When we first moved here, we lived in a little duplex. It was called a step saver. I could sweep the entire duplex standing in one place, right there in Broken Arrow. It was the neatest thing. I said, honey, as long as we live here, I'll do all the sweeping, because I just stood in one central location, did the whole thing, put the sweeper away. It was neat. But what was also neat about it was when those big window-shaking thunderstorms came through, all the kids would come to our room. They would all quietly come, and it would end up that they were all laying on our bed, and it was the funnest time. Because we love to protect them. We love for them to flee to us when they're afraid of those big thunderstorms. God says, I want to be huge, that you can trust me more than your fears. Secondly, look at verse 4. When fears and insecurities increase, what should we do? David learned to ask God for help before he became bitter. See, bitterness is awful. It's an infection. It says in Hebrews 12 that it defiles, it'll spring up everywhere in your life. You let it in one place, it'll just come up everywhere. It'll defile all the parts of our life. So when we are insecure and become embittered that someone took something from us or whatever that made this happen or someone did something to us, we have to ask God for help before we become bitter. Verse 4, he says this, deliver me, O my God, out of the hands of the wicked. Out of the hands of the unrighteous, the cruel, whatever it is that we feel insecure about, we go to the one who is our security. And David learned to ask for God's help before he became embittered and paralyzed by his fears. Look at verse 5. David learned remembering the faithfulness of God. That's a sure way to overcome insecurity. Verse 5. You are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. He says, I'm going to keep remembering. You took care of me at birth. You took care of me when I didn't even know I was needing care. You made sure I was fed. You made sure I was protected. You made sure I was surrounded by loving parents that raised me in the way that you wanted them to raise me. And you are the one. And I'm just going to remember that, and I'm going to trust you more. Look at verse 6. David learned to remember to praise God and remember that he had a plan for his life. He says in verse 6, by you, I have been upheld. Now, Americans would say, I have been upheld by you. You notice that David consciously reverses the order. God becomes first in his thinking. By you, I have been upheld. It's a conscious about these being habits. He even alters the way he looks at life. He alters the way he explains life. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Instead of I trust you, O Lord. It was a conscious God before me. God before my fears. God before my insecurities. God before my troubles. So in verse 6, he learned to remember to praise God that he had a plan for his life. Look at verse 7. David learned to let his life be a testimony for the Lord. I have become a wonder to many, but you are my strong refuge. People are wondering how I'm holding up under Absalom's onslaught. That's the context of this. His own son was trying to kill him. You talk about an ultimate stress. His own son stalking to kill him with the army of Israel. And David says in verse 7, I've become a wonder to many. Let my life be a testimony for you. But you first are my refuge. God before his problems. Verse 8, he continues, David had learned to praise God so much he didn't have any time left for complaints. He says in verse 8, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. He said, I want to praise you so much that I don't have any space, I don't have any bandwidth to go around belly aching and complaining and moaning and whining. He says, I have a conscious choice what I can do with this mouth. And he says, I have chosen to let my mouth be filled, verse 8, with your praise. And if there's nothing to praise God about in the present, then he just says, then I just praise you for your plan, even though I don't understand it. But I can sure look back and see a whole lifetime that I will praise you for. And he says, I will let it fill my day.